Shine, little Lover, live it, live it. Shine, little Lover, live it, live it. Leave us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I'm here tonight with Charlie Spears. You know him as Charlie down there in Motown from Natural Grocers. He's the nutritional health coach. Good evening, Charlie.
Hello, fellow worms. It's good to be back on the show.
Worming it up. Lance is gone for a few weeks, and we're going to be doing just a couple different things, all related, though, to health and organic gardening in one way or another.
It's hard to believe it's that time of year. It's going to be 4 weeks till time changes and people are ready to start planning.
I know. What time of year is it? Felt like spring today.
Yeah.
But thank you for the moisture, dear universe, because that felt really good.
And wonderful.
I know everybody's enjoying that. All right, call-in show. Jeff is in the control room ready to take your call. Comments, questions, 527-486-8166, KVNF Now, and also you can email worm@kvnf.org. So, yeah, kind of a crazy year, and already thinking of spring planting, and a couple weeks ago, Lance was talking about some things to plant right now for spring.
Yeah, there's some real favorite things you can start out with that are real easy for any grower.
Okay, so some of the things that Lance was talking about, some flowers like some poppies, can put bulbs in the ground, but cilantro, lettuce, spinach, some lamb's quarter or auric, and parsnips. So a lot of greens, and let's talk about the health benefits of greens. I think one of the things that I actually enjoy over the winter and early season is spinach.
Yeah, and spinach is really one of the favorite greens to grow. It's remarkably frost resistant, you know. So this time I've heard forecasts were supposed to be about 10 degrees warmer. So spinach is definitely something you can start right now.
Spinach will be happy.
Yeah, and I recommend getting several different varieties to see which one suit you best as far as flavor. And also, you know, certain locations, certain varieties work better in Paonia than others. And it's real good to plant them close together and then harvest the leaves where when they're very small. And thereby you're thinning them. And also, you know, plant them in succession, you know, several harvests so you have them a steady supply of little baby leafy greens.
Spinach all year round. And the babyish part, you're saying that's a more nutritionally dense, or what's the deal?
It's the same nutritional thing. It's just that we sell baby greens. They're a lot less, they're more tender as far as spinach, lettuce, and kale. The baby greens are more tender, and they're quicker to eat. You know, it typically takes several months for the leaves of kale or spinach to get real big. But it's important to know that you can plant them thickly together and then thin them when they're still a little small. And the little small plants can make many great salads. And you can keep planting them and then give yourself time as the season progresses to let the plants get bigger.
Okay, so we all know that green, and especially dark green leafy veggies and produce is good for us. And what are some of the nutritional benefits specifically of spinach?
Well, spinach, all the greens are really high in chlorophyll, and they have a lot of phytonutrients in them, B vitamins, iron, minerals in them. And not only that, but the fiber. Fiber is critical for your body, not only for bulk in your stool, but that's how your body gets rid of toxins that your liver gets rid of. They attach to fiber. So, you know, all the fibers in your spinach, your chard, your leafy greens, fiber is just as important because that fiber is feeding our probiotics. And then the green leafy things, in addition to all the phytochemicals, the B vitamins, nutrients, there's also chlorophyll. And chlorophyll is one of the great body cleansers. You know, we sell liquid chlorophyll. Chlorophyll actually helps carry oxygen. A lot of people don't know that. So chlorophyll actually helps oxygenate your body. It has the same structure as hemoglobin in your blood. And the only difference between chlorophyll and hemoglobin is that the center of hemoglobin is iron and the center of chlorophyll is magnesium. Otherwise, they look identical, and chlorophyll does carry oxygen. So that's another great thing. And like I mentioned, chlorophyll is a great detoxifier. It helps detox your body. A lot of people use it for odor control. I knew a fellow that had stinky feet. They used chlorophyll for several weeks, and it took the odor out of his feet. So
by ingesting chlorophyll.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he made a lot more friends that way.
Eat more spinach. Your feet smell sweeter. Okay. You raised some good points there about fiber and helping to detox. And we're going to get into detox in just a little bit, but also those probiotics. And phytonutrients being, could you just define phytonutrients?
Phyto means plant. And nutrients. So, they're specific plant nutrients. So every plant is full of certain compounds that make them more valuable than other plants. Beet is full of nitrates that you can make into nitric oxide that is good for your arteries. Green tea is full of catechins, which are real potent free radical scavengers, and they're good for the skin, good for sun protection. All the colors of, carrots, the beta carotene, helps make vitamin A. It's a very important free radical scavenger as well. So phytonutrients, phyto means plant. There's literally thousands of phytonutrients, and they're essentially all the colors of plants. Those are your phytonutrients, the orange of beta carotene, the red of lycopene, the yellow, green of lutein found in kale. And actually, most of our lutein supplements, which is great for your eyes, come from the marigold flower. So that beautiful yellow color is actually lutein. So flowers are good to eat.
You know, I think color is good to eat. I have a theory about that personally.
Oh, absolutely. And your basket should, or in your garden should be full of as many colors as you can get. You know, the dark red cabbages, onions, just even the white colors of onion and garlic. Are certain compounds in garlic. It's allicin, which is a very potent detoxifier. But phytochemicals, all the different colors, the blue of a blueberry, the greens, the reds, the purples, all those, you're right. You want a broad spectrum of colors will give you all the phytonutrients you need in your body for health.
Mm-hmm. Diversity again.
Diversity, exactly.
Yeah. Just like we learn about soil and that underground community there, and the healthier the diversity of that, the better the soil, the healthier, the better the diversity in your stomach of your probiotics, the healthier you are.
Exactly.
The healthier our communities are when we're more diverse.
It's important to remember, too, soil is alive. Dirt is dead.
Right.
And plants grow in soil. The soil is full of microorganisms that not only fix nitrogen, but take carbon out of the air and put carbon into the soil where it belongs. Actually, the soil will carry twice the amount of carbon that the atmosphere does. So if we can get grass-fed cattle going again, grass is a great way to pull carbon out of the atmosphere and put it in the ground. In an episode where we're rapidly warming because of the carbon intake into the air, we need to get that carbon into the ground. Grass is one of the best carbon fixers there is, and we can get a lot of carbon scrubbed out of the air and back into the ground.
Okay, good point. Let's maybe go there. 527-486-8166, KVNF Now, wormkvnf.org, and kind of just talking about food and feeling good and the great properties of organic gardening and food. And you just mentioned grass-fed beef. And the carbon piece of that, there's all kinds of benefits of grass-fed beef. And may I mention, we have some great grass-fed beef over here on the Western Slope.
Yes, and it's the only way to go. And all you grass-fed producers are going to be very wealthy people, and you well deserve it, because grass-fed beef is the way to go. Cattle are grass eaters. That's why they have all those different stomachs. They're designed to eat the same forage as elk and deer. And you give them corn, it makes their stomach more acidic, it causes the growth of a lot of undesirable bacteria, and in short, it makes the cattle sick. Not only that, most of the corn fed to the cattle is GMO corn, subsidized by your tax dollars. And, so these are sick animals fed when corn, they give them antibiotics, growth hormone, all the different stuff. Whereas in cattle, that are raised on grass, they're very, very healthy. And grass, there's a lot of management techniques that are well known now. Alan Savory from South Africa, he's taken places that have been desertified terribly and put heavy, ironically, you can take a desertified ranch like in the West mm-hmm. and start putting cattle on it, moving them around, and within several years you start seeing the willow start return to the riverbeds. You start seeing small songbirds, coyotes, foxes, and within a period of 3, 4, or 5 years you can see a total turnaround from a desertified ranch, which lots of them exist in Nebraska, Colorado, Wyoming, Utah. And these can be turned around by active cattle grazing, active
natural
land grazing.
Practices, yeah, and practices and, that kind of close the loop, so to speak.
And it has to be like nature. Cattle. The problem with cattle, the way they raised them, is cattle were all put around the water holes. They trampled the streams. Cattle need to move. So the way new ranchers move is they intensively graze. You know, the cattle are let into, they move the cattle from paddock to paddock over the year, and I know farmers that plant different crops in all the different parts of their ranch, and so they let the cattle go there, graze intensively one area, then they take them off there, and while the cattle were grazing, not only is their feces nourishing the soil, but the herbs are breaking it up, and you're getting a lot more mm-hmm. Soil humus development. And a good example of this is the Great Plains. When Lewis and Clark came through there, the grass was up to the belly of the horses. This was in 1806. The whole interior of the United States was thousands of miles of grass, and all this grass was actually formed from the hoofed animals, especially buffalo. There were 60 million buffalo that wow. migrated annually yeah. from Canada all the way yeah. down to Mexico, all past those Great Plains, and their hooves actually made wonderful soil over the eons. The topsoil through the United States and the middle of the United States is 20, 30 feet deep as you got out west. So the key with that is intensive grazing. But cattle or herd animals, just like in Africa, they need to be moved. If you see a herd animal there, lions come around, the herd moves, wildebeest, et cetera, they move. And that's what the modern rancher does. It forces these cattle to move and not stay in one place. And in several months, you know, that place where the cattle grazed intensely, it's beautiful, tall grass. And it keeps getting richer every year you do this. It's a wonderful way to rehab land, especially in the West.
And it's going back to old and natural practices. I think all of these things that we're talking about, it's really getting back to the way it used to be.
Yes.
What's more natural?
Yeah, there's interesting, the Alan Savory of the Savory Institute, mm-hmm. They show, you can see it from the, actually, satellite imagery, you can see where the fence line is. On one side, it's very lush grass. That's herd animal raising. On the other side, it's desert. And so it's very obvious even from the air. You can do that even through Google Maps on a lot of Western ranches.
Sure.
And you can see the before and after. It's quite dramatic. A lot more vegetation, a lot more trees, willows, and water. Water returns to the streams. Carbonized soil and a soil that has a lot of microbes in it actually holds more moisture. So, you know, if you do, if like this has been a super dry winter, if we have more carbon in the soil, what rain does fall stays in the soil.
Right.
You know how dirt dries out, like the adobes between Montrose and Delta. Those dry out and the moisture, even if it's muddy, it's gone in a day. If you start adding humus to that and organic material, that soil will hold moisture for a lot of time. And then, say, in the summer, it releases the moisture in the air, and you get more local rainfall. So taking carbon out of the atmosphere and putting the ground through organic ranching and farming not only sequesters carbon from the atmosphere in a huge amount, we can actually reverse most of the global warming by putting this carbon back in the soil. And grassland actually sequesters more carbon than the Amazon rainforest. So the whole middle of the United States used to be grassland. A lot of these marginal areas in the West, we use a lot of grass over here. So grass-fed cattle are good for the cattle. It's good for the environment. It's good for the
It's good for our human nutrition.
Exactly. And it's good for the
meal.
The semi area.
Glass of wine.
Yeah. And they taste better. Grass-fed beef, yeah. You know, despite what some steak companies say. You would laugh at me if I told you that I had some corn-fed deer, right? Well, cattle eat the same thing as deer. They like a great diversity. So we don't want corn-fed cattle.
Okay. I want my cattle eating lamb's quarter.
Yes.
Lamb's quarter out in the prairie.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
I think that all cattle think that's not bad.
Okay, 527-486-8186, KVNF now, worm at kvnf.org. We're here with Charlie from Natural Grocers in Montrose, Motown, Colorado, and talking about food and what's good to eat and what's good for us. Okay, we're talking about greens and grass-fed beef and planting, and one of the things that you know, Lance has going all year, and a lot of us do, is storage. So he's got his storage pit, and I actually just got a little gift basket of some crazy-looking potatoes and onions and some garlic. So winter's always a good time to detox. What can we do with some of that stuff to detox?
Well, in addition to all these fresh greens that we're going to be growing over the next several weeks, you know, if we plant them today, you can be eating some nice little lettuce, spinach, arugula within 3 to 4 weeks from today.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah. And so, you know, over winter, though, you know, you find a lot of onions and garlic in storage. Add those to your greens, you know. We want a lot of these herbs. Garlic especially is super good for your body. It's been used for over 5,000 years in every civilization there is. As a matter of fact, the workers of the Great Pyramids were given garlic for stamina. Garlic has a lot of sulfur in it, which is extremely important for your liver. Your liver uses a lot of detox processes. One of the most important is called sulfation, where you can take toxic compounds in your diet and combine them with sulfur. That makes them water soluble, and they can leave through your bile and your kidneys. So I can't emphasize how garlic is a super powerful detoxifier. It's good for the brain. It's good for the heart. There has been a ton of research on it. And so adding, you know, your garlic and your onions, you know, sauteing them with your spinach, arugula, chard. Baby radishes grow very fast. And within a month from today, you can be eating a lot of great salads and different vegetable products.
Yep, folks, it's coming right up. You can plant right now. We're going to be talking harvest before you know it.
I need to start sharpening my hose and all that and good stuff.
Sharpen your tools. Lance would be proud of you.
Yes.
Charlie, for reminding everybody of that. Sharp tools are a gardener's necessity.
Yeah.
Sharp and clean.
Yeah. I haven't been doing a lot of shoveling, so I'm not in real good hoeing condition yet.
Right.
So yeah,
I know. Everybody's going to be sore when we start working out in the garden, but that's okay. Okay, one of the things, well, 527-486-8186, KVNF now, worm at kvnf.org. I like to eat onions, and there's some quercetin in onions. Can you talk about what that is? Because
we were mentioning phytochemicals. A very important phytochemical in onions is called quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. It's a wonderful compound, very powerful at fighting free radicals in your body. But also it's one of the main things that helps your body to modulate histamine production. So we're coming up into the spring where grass and weeds and different things start growing that can cause a histamine response. In other words, a nice allergy where you get all sniffly and all that. Excuse me. And quercetin helps your body to modulate histamine production. So I myself take quercetin oftentimes before I go to bed because I tend to get stuffy overnight. So quercetin in supplemental form or just eating onions.
Onion sandwich.
Yeah, an onion sandwich. Liver and onions. People used to always eat liver
sure,
and onions,
yeah.
Except confined animal cattle's livers are so sick you wouldn't want to eat them. So we do have true grass-fed beef. Their organ tissue is very good for you. Liver is excellent for you, but it has to be
grass-fed
organic.
Right. Where is it coming from?
A healthy animal.
Right. So quercetin can help with stuffiness and eat your onions.
It helps your body to modulate histamine production. And this time of year, a lot of people are going to have a lot of problems with too much histamine. So quercetin from onions is very helpful for that.
Okay. 527-4868-1866 KBNF now. And what about eggs? We've got some great...
Again, eggs have gotten a black eye. An egg is almost the perfect food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I recommend anybody get a dozen or two dozen eggs and I eat a dozen eggs every week. I take them hard-boiled eggs. Every Sunday I make a whole dozen hard-boiled eggs. I take them to work and snack on them. But the egg yolk is full of compounds. It's actually a young chicken. So it's one of the most healthy food there is. But this has to be free-range chicken. 99.9% of the poultry raised in the United States is raised in confined animal feeding operations where you have thousands of chickens confined together where they can't even stretch their wings out. They're essentially fed a gruel. And most of these confined animal feeding operations have one mission. It's to grow animals as fast as they can for as cheap as they can.
Right.
And that does not create a healthy chicken, a healthy pig, or a healthy beef. So it's very important for us to be cognizant of free-range chicken, grass-fed beef, and organic fruits and vegetables. And what does organic mean? It means real food, just like everybody's eaten for time immemorial. Jesus was organic. George Washington was organic. Abe was organic. We stopped being organic about 1940, and we're paying the consequences with cardiovascular disease, you know, lung disease, cancer. All these different things can be directly tied to our diet, and we have to get back to eating like really the forebears in this county. You look at all the people out west; they got a 160-acre plot. That's a lot of land. I can barely handle half an acre, and these people were given 160 acres that they had to clear. And all these people ate grass-fed beef, free-range chickens. The first heart attack in America didn't occur till 1930. That means all the pioneers of Montrose and Delta County and Mesa counties. These people were all healthy into their 80s and 90s. They're eating a ton of free-range eggs, eating a ton of lard, a ton of butter, lots of bacon, lots of cheese, and it's healthy for you as long as the animal is healthy.
Right. There's proof in the pudding right there.
Yes, and it should be.
No, that's amazing that the first heart attack didn't occur until
1920 in the United States. That's amazing, yes. And then by 1930, there was 500 years. And by 1960, I believe there was 500,000. So, I mean, we go from the first one in 1920 to 500,000 in 1960. And previous to that, they were fairly unknown. Diabetes used to be fairly unknown disease. Obesity was an unknown problem. So
you can connect the dots.
It's all related to our diet, dummy. And fast, cheap food leads to problems.
Right. Okay, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. Thank you, Charlie, for talking about some of the benefits of all the great food that we have here. And I wonder if you could just speak in the last several minutes of the show. It's been a really tough flu season, and it's one of those seasons that's knocking people down for many days. And I don't think it's over yet. Is it over yet?
They say not. They say there's another 4 weeks or so of this. So, you know, there's some very good things you can take for enhancing your immune system. I already mentioned one of them, garlic, is a huge one. But there are other supplements that you
can
get.
How does garlic, I mean, we talked about it detoxing, and how does that translate into helping your immune system?
Well, garlic also is antifungal, antiparasitic, antiviral. Before antibiotics weren't developed till 1930, and before that, actually, garlic, oil of oregano, olive leaf extract, elderberry, those were what people used to get well.
Wow.
In fact, in World War I, that was trench warfare where these guys had terrible wounds and they were in the mud. They used garlic paste because the antibiotics hadn't been developed yet. So garlic has been used for time immemorial for fighting infection, parasites. But the point I'm talking about, it's also very key for detoxification, which if your body's sick, you know, and your white blood cells are toxic, they can't operate as well
yeah,
as your brain, your heart, or anything else. They're very active cells. and any toxic compounds, especially glyphosate, Roundup. It's been shown that that's in all of our diets now. It's in all of our blood, and new research shows that that can cause the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is a serious liver problem. And just the small doses that are allowed by the federal government on produce that's sold in most grocery stores, 90% plus, is leading to low levels of glyphosate in our bodies. And that's a very toxic substance to your liver and to your probiotics in your gut. As a matter of fact, Roundup was originally patented as an antibiotic by Monsanto because it kills bacteria. It wasn't actually sold as a pesticide, but it was patented as an antibiotic. So small amounts of Roundup are dosing your probiotics in your gut there. And, of course, your probiotics are 80% of your immune system. So just from that aspect alone, you don't want to do anything to rock the probiotic boat. So that's why your gut probiotics, they want to eat good stuff, and that's organic food and good fibers.
Well, that's just disturbing what you said about it being marketed, Roundup being marketed as an antibiotic, which means that it goes right after your probiotics. And so
exactly.
Can you even detox that form of liver?
Yes, your liver has to detoxify whatever you put into it. And there's 60,000 chemicals used in the United States now, from body care products that you put on your skin every single day, hairsprays.
Right.
Roundup is on all our food. And I don't care what anyone tells you, it's not good for you. It's not safe. It's not innocuous. And more research is coming out to point this out. I just mentioned the new research January 17th that showed that's definitely linked to the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is a real problem. We have to get back to eating organic, real food, locally grown, and preferably grown by worms like all on the Western Slope. We want lots of worms eating lots of organic food.
We're all worms out here. Okay, so what are some other things we can do to help us with flu prevention?
One of the big ones here actually is colostrum from organically raised grass-fed beef. Colostrum is the first liquid expressed when a mom is feeding her baby. Early milking, they save some of the colostrum and they make supplements out of it. But an interesting study showed that colostrum and supplementation, they took several different groups. They took some people that were healthy. They took some people that had advanced heart disease, and they gave them colostrum, and they gave some of them a combination of flu shots and colostrum. And they found out that colostrum was four times more effective than the flu shot, four times more effective. And we sell colostrum. It's a very easy supplement to take.
And sounds like mama's milk.
Yeah,
like
it
the
is.
Benefits of breastfeeding.
Yeah, I mean. And just this year again, they got the wrong flu vaccine. You know, there's a lot of different types of flu,
right.
H1N1, H1N3, influenza A, influenza B, et cetera. Colostrum fights all those things. So even if the flu vaccine is not effective that year, colostrum can help with all strains of flu.
A little more reliable than tossing the dice and wondering what flu strain is going to come out.
Exactly. And so
it's a natural thing.
And colostrum has never hurt anybody. It's a super safe thing. And, of course, there's lots of questions on whether vaccination is safe. We won't get into that now.
Sure. But that's another show.
Another great supplement is called N-acetylcysteine. Cysteine is a high sulfur amino acid. It's a precursor to something in your body called glutathione, which is one of the most powerful compounds your body can make. Your lungs, your liver, and your kidneys should be full of glutathione.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes when people get colds or flu, their glutathione levels get wiped out in their lungs. And that's when you kind of almost recover from a cold and then you get sick again. You get sick again. And I know people like that. They continually get sick all winter.
Because their glutathione levels aren't staying level.
They never. Yeah, the flu and cold wipe it out, and sometimes you need to fill your lungs back up. And sometimes people get ill before their body has a chance to refill up with glutathione.
Right.
And then there was another study that people. This is actually took 262 seniors, and they did a study on them. The blood test confirmed that all these people had the flu virus. They're all infected. But the people who took NAC, N-acetylcysteine, had hardly any symptomatology.
Interesting.
So as you know, a flu can leave you in a fetal position in bed. But the people that had NAC, even though this test showed that they were infected via their blood tests, they had hardly any symptomatology. So that's quite amazing.
So can decrease your symptoms or...
Yes.
You can contract it, but not feel the pain.
Exactly. Yeah, flu can be deadly, actually. You can get such a violent response to it, a cytokine storm, it's called. And that's actually what can kill people. That's what that storm...
What's that again? Could you repeat that?
Most of the symptoms of the flu are actually from your own immune system overreacting. They're not from the flu virus. Your body releases lots of cytokines, they're called, compounds like interleukin, tumor necrosis factor. Sometimes viruses, your body makes too much of these things, and they cause a toxic response in your body. And so NAC actually modulates this greatly. Another compound real fast would be elderberry. Mm-hmm. Elderberry helps to slow viruses from replicating. Flu virus and all those, they replicate very fast. And what that means is they go 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 to 16 to 32 to 64 to 128 to 56.
The tenfold thing.
Yeah, it's called a geometric progression. So elderberry helps slow down viral replication so they don't overrun your body. Vitamin C, your white blood cells concentrate vitamin C 1,000 times more than is in your bloodstream. So colostrum, N-acetylcysteine, vitamin D, vitamin C, elderberry, super important for immunity.
Yep, keep your immune system pumped up. All right, good stuff. Lots of information there. Thank you, Charlie, for being here. I know you have a lecture going this Thursday at 4 p.m. Down there at Natural Grocers. And what's that about?
I'm talking about what is the real grass-fed beef and what's that mean? There's a lot of people that feed grass at some point in the cattle's life, but an awful lot of cattle are finished in feedlots with corn and other GMO feed. And just because they had grass some point in their life does not mean that's good beef. There are a lot of producers that are lifetime grass-fed. And just real quick, it's a little more expensive because grass-fed cattle, you have to keep them alive longer.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yes, I mean, it is.
Everybody that's ranching those grass-fed
But it's
cows.
It's something that's sustainable, and these ranchers can pass this ranch on from their kids, and people ranchers feel good
That'd be great
raising
to see.
Cattle this way.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, it is DJ Leah Love coming up next on KVNF. We'll be back next week, next Tuesday at 6:30 with another edition of As the Worm Turns. Thanks for listening to KVNF. Good night.
Good night.
Go little over and turn the key on. You are equipped with taillight neon. You've got a cute fast pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.